You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up after 7, it's Latino USA on tonight's edition, a look at the racial politics of marijuana legalization and how the drug war has affected people of color.
First, Ecuador was rocked by a 7.8 magnitude earthquake this weekend, the strongest quake that the South American country has experienced in decades. As of today, the official death toll is nearly 500. It's expected to rise as searches for survivors buried in rubble stretch into a fourth day.
Ecuador's president says that rebuilding and recovery could cost billions of dollars. The country is already struggling due to the importance of oil in their national economy and historically low petroleum prices.
Beyond the long-term recovery, survivors have immediate needs as well. Spain's Red Cross said in the port city of Manta alone, as many as 5,000 people might need temporary housing because of destroyed homes. 100,000 need some sort of aid.
One Wisconsin nonprofit has a long history of providing health care in Ecuador, and they're ramping up their efforts to meet the needs of those impacted by the disaster. Dr. David Gauss is the co-founder of the Andean Health and Development Nonprofit Organization and has served as its executive director since 1994. Dr. Gauss, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Well, could we begin by having you tell us a little bit about where the earthquake hit and which parts of the country were most impacted?
The earthquake hit in the northwest corner of the country, right along the coast, in the Esmeraldas and Manabí provinces. The geography of Ecuador is such that the Andes Mountains run right down the middle of the country, and to the west of the Andes is a large flatland that is considered coastal, and that's where in the northern part of that region is where the earthquake hit.
Given that particular geography that you're describing, are there any particular challenges that come with recovery and aid efforts there?
Absolutely. As is the case with many earthquakes, Ecuador suffered two significant problems. One is that the collapsing of buildings included the collapsing of several hospitals, and so the medical relief efforts were frustrated, first of all, by that. Second of all, in these situations, oftentimes roads collapse, and this isn't just mudslides, but actually foundations give out, making transportation impossible initially and isolating the communities that are most impacted and in the greatest need.
Now, it's been several days after the quake, and Andean Health and Development operates two hospitals in provinces that are close to the earthquake epicenter. What are you hearing from your colleagues since the quake?
The needs are endless. The number of patients that we're seeing since some of the roads have been fixed enough to make them passable, we're seeing a lot of the trauma that results from the crush injuries, broken bones, broken limbs, chest trauma, abdominal trauma, those things. The other thing that we're also seeing, in addition to the trauma from the earthquake, is that because a number of the government hospitals in those two provinces collapsed, there's still the regular types of things that occur for which people don't have access. So it's hard to imagine this, but in the midst of all the trauma patients we were taking care of, a young man came in with appendicitis, just picked the wrong day to give appendicitis and had to come to our facility to get that taken care of.
And so is your facilities, are they able to help with some of these overflow of needs that are going on right now?
They are. So we're collaborating with the Ministry of Health and with the Social Security system to provide coverage to overflow patients that they're not able to take care of. And again, we're one of the first hospitals that you see when you come into the city of Santo Domingo from these affected areas. And so we've taken a number of those patients when they come in.
Well, as we said, you have a long history of working on health issues in Ecuador. And under normal circumstances, what are the areas of need that you see there and how dire is the need?
Well, it's the typical things you see. So we have two hospitals. One of them is a 17-bed hospital. The other one is a 60-bed hospital. The kinds of things that we see are the typical things you'd see in a rural communities, particularly a low-income community, and then a couple of things that you wouldn't expect to see if you were in rural Wisconsin, for example. So the typical things are the childbirths, both complicated and uncomplicated. We see a lot of diarrheal disease with severe dehydration requiring IV rehydration and things like antibiotics. We get pneumonias. We have motor vehicle accidents, kidney infections, and skin infections. And those are the typical things, the things that you might not be accustomed to see in a place like in a rural hospital in Wisconsin, for example, would be typhoid fever, pesticide toxicity, snake bite, and a number of other tropical diseases unique to that area.
We're talking right now with Dr. David Gauss, Executive Director of the Andean Health and Development Nonprofit, which is based here in Wisconsin. And there are a couple of facilities serving people in Ecuador. And we're talking about efforts there to address the needs of survivors of last week's earthquake. And Dr. Gauss, how did you first get involved with Andean Health and Development? You're a co-founder. How did you end up with that role?
Well, it's kind of a funny story, but the short sarcastic answer is I went through my midlife crisis when I was a senior in college and decided I did not want to be an accountant, which was my major at that time. Went to volunteer in Ecuador at a family development project there for a few years after finishing my undergraduate studies. And that's when I met someone doing work in tropical disease and discovered that I would like to go into medicine. Came back and spent the next 11 years studying medicine and public health and tropical disease and family medicine specifically, and moved back to Ecuador in 1997 to start this project in this community. So that's actually how it all started.
Well, it sounds like you live in Wisconsin most of the time now, and you do serve as executive director there. What is it about Ecuador that compels you to go back and keep helping there?
The people. After living there for a few years, instead of seeing pictures in magazines about pain and suffering, these are now your friends and people that you've known for a long time. And so that has a different kind of impact on a person than seeing it in magazines or on television programs. They're wonderful people. It's a beautiful country. I work with a lot of very bright people. I'm the only American, the only person from the United States involved in this project in Ecuador. It's entirely Ecuadorian run. And we see ourselves as an organization, as a bridge to bring resources and certain kinds of know-how to a community. But largely, it's finding bright people in Ecuador and giving them the resources and the tools and the opportunities to provide, to do wonderful things for their own people. And that's what our goal has been. So our hospital goals, for example, are for them to be financially completely self-sustainable without depending on outside funding. The first one's there and the second one is on its way.
Now, there's been such a run of natural disasters in the world lately. In the last decade or so, there's been Japan, there has been Katrina, there has been Haiti. Do you think that we've learned lessons now about how to more effectively offer aid when events like this happen?
That's a wonderful question. I don't know if we have. I don't really know if we have. I think there's so many moving parts to the aid question. I think we can look to the experience in Haiti. That has not gone as well as one would have hoped. That probably was predictable after seeing Managua, Nicaragua, after its earthquake in 1972. 40 years later, there's still rubble left over from that earthquake. That city has not been rebuilt. I think these are very challenging problems that require not just technical solutions, which is oftentimes, I think, where we get bogged down in this country thinking that it's largely a technical solution, when in fact it's oftentimes a political solution. It's a legal issue, among other things. So it's not just the technical piece. It's not just the money. There are so many other factors involved here. And so I think we continue to learn that lesson, but I'm hoping that we get better at it each and every time.
Is the earthquake in Ecuador getting the attention you'd like it to?
I think it's too early to tell. I'm not sure yet. Ecuador is a very resourceful country. They have a lot of the resources they need to be able to manage this. And I think that they will respond positively. If it depended on the colleagues that I work with in our two projects, I'd say Ecuador is in has a very high probability of emerging from this. However, they need money to be able to do this, and that's they need outside resources. And one of the things that we're trying to offer as an organization is as a conduit for that. So all the care that we're providing, for example, for these patients, most of them are indigent patients that have nowhere else to turn. So the financial piece is still a significant part of this.
And just briefly, if people are listening to you now, they're moved to help, what can they do?
AndeanHealth.org is our website. We have an opportunity there for people to make contributions. In-kind contributions are useful. They're more difficult logistically to get into the country. Financial contributions obviously are very useful at this time. Every dollar that we bring in from those kinds of things goes directly to the country and goes directly to the people that we're taking care of. And the fact that I'm going there on Monday to oversee a lot of this is my personal guarantee that that money does get spent the way that it was intended to be spent.
Dr. Goss, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here, and I look forward to talking again after coming back from Ecuador in a few weeks.
Dr. David Goss is the co-founder and executive director of the Andean Health and Development Nonprofit, which is based here in Wisconsin. He joined us to talk about their efforts to address the needs of survivors of last weekend's earthquake in Ecuador.